Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please be with us as we look at your word and what your Son himself had to teach us. Please open our hearts and minds that we may hear what you have to say to us and may understand and know you more. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. So these blessings which Jesus gives at the beginning of Matthew 5 are often known as the Beatitudes, which comes from a Latin origin to mean bliss or fortunate or happy. And these Beatitudes are often quite revered by Christians, these sacred words spoken by Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I can never read these words without Monty Python's Life of Brian coming to mind, destroying almost any reverence for these words. So has anyone seen that film, Life of Brian? Yeah? Good. For those who haven't seen it, the British comedy from the 70s made a film around the life of a man called Brian of Nazareth, who lived during the same time as Jesus and goes through a lot of ordeal as he is quite obviously and humorously mistaken for the Messiah. But at the beginning of the film, he and his mother are watching Jesus give his Sermon on the Mount. But they're about 300 metres away and can hardly hear what's going on. So what happens is Brian and a group of Israelites next to him are mistaking everything that Jesus is saying. One of the things they think which is being said is, blessed are the Greek, instead of blessed are the meek. Another one is, blessed are the cheesemakers, instead of blessed are the peacemakers, again causing quite a bit of confusion. Eventually, Brian and his mother get bored of not understanding, and they leave to go and watch a stoning, which is considered entertainment at that time. But I won't tell you the rest of the film, you'll have to see it for yourself. And even though this scene is quite humorous, the point that I want to take away is the fact that Brian and his mother didn't understand what Jesus was trying to teach. They didn't understand. They were listening to what Jesus was saying, the Beatitudes, and they didn't understand them. Now, I think that we often can be like that, hearing these words of Jesus, but not really understanding them, instead coming to our own conclusions. But it is important to understand why it is that Jesus is saying these words, why he is giving the Beatitudes. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be looking at 2 points: why Jesus gave the Beatitudes, and what do they mean for us? Why Jesus gave the Beatitudes, and what do they mean for us? So that first point, why Jesus gave the Beatitudes. Now, the Beatitudes, they seem like kind of an odd way to start a sermon. Jesus doesn't start off with some sort of introduction to his topic or his 2 points to the sermon. He doesn't start off with a joke to get people's attention or some sort of interesting story. And he definitely doesn't start off talking about Monty Python. Instead, Jesus launches straight into these blessings, which seems kind of odd. But when you look at the context and situation that Jesus is giving these, it actually makes a lot of sense as to why Jesus is doing this. As I was saying at the beginning, the Beatitudes mean bliss or happiness. Or maybe a better way of understanding them is fortunate, or maybe even excited or eagerness, or maybe hope. Hope, I think, seems to encompass this idea of being excited or happy or waiting for bliss. So Jesus begins his sermon with 10 verses about hope. So why does Jesus do this? And how are the Beatitudes about hope? Well, you find the answer in who Jesus is talking to, who he is delivering his sermon to. When Jesus stands up on the mountainside, he is preaching to the Jews, a people who are under subjugation. They are ruled by a foreign nation and are leaderless, taken over by the Romans. They are in a very desperate situation. It's like being back in Egypt all over again, as we read about in Exodus. Slaves once more. Israel at this time, it's It's a bit like Tibet under China, a small country which has almost lost all control and really has no one leading them or any self-governance. So here the Jews are, leaderless and desperate. And now comes along Jesus, speaking to these people in the wilderness near a mountain, very much like Moses did with the Hebrews, speaking to the people in the desert during their wanderings for 40 years, which we read about in Numbers. In fact, I realised while I was writing this, it's one of the reasons why the Jews at this time flocked to Jesus. He's very much like Moses, the great leader and prophet, Moses, the one who gave us the law. Jesus, like Moses, during the nation's time and captivity and desperation, shows up, claiming to be sent from God. So God's people are leaderless, lost, and are in need of hope. They're in need of hope. Remember, it's been almost 400 years since God had sent a prophet or leader to his people. So effectively, 400 years of silence from God. To put that in perspective, it'd be like having heard nothing since 1612. That's getting on about 200 years before Australia was even settled. These people, the Jews, are desperate and longing for someone to bring them back to their God and into glory with him. And now comes along Jesus and climbs up on a mountain and begins saying, "Blessed, blessed." Now, at first, this might actually seem a bit like an insult, or kind of a mocking remark to say that during such a time of despair, a time of slavery, to say that they are blessed. They're blessed. Jesus is basically saying, how lucky it is to be you. How lucky it is to be a Jew at this time. What a great situation you are in. You guys have got it good. It must be great to be in your shoes. If only everyone could be like you. Now, this must have sounded very odd and backward to the Jews, and is what came across to me as I was writing this. But let's look at why these people are blessed. Blessed are they because they will. Blessed are they because they will. Not are or have been, but they will. So what sort of blessing is Jesus giving these people? What sort of hope is he giving them? Why is Jesus giving these beatitudes? Jesus is giving them the hope of a future far better than anything in the past or what is now. Jesus is telling these people how blessed they are, how fortunate, how happy they should be, because God has promised them a reward. God is going to reward the people for the good that they do and for the faith that they have in him. Let me read those blessings out to you. Blessed are they, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, for they will be comforted, for they will inherit the earth, for they will be filled, for they will be shown mercy, for they will see God, for they will be called children of God, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before them. Isn't that a wonderful hope? Comfort, mercy, seeing God. You can see that God has great things in store for those who do his will and live holy lives. And this is why Jesus starts off his sermon this way, with the Beatitudes. Jesus launches straight into what these people need and are desperate to hear. Hope. Hope. The hope of a future which God has promised to all through the death and resurrection of his Son. Hope, it's refreshing to any person. Hope is what keeps people going against all the odds. Hope is what can spark a person to persevere. Hope, it's like a glass of cold water on a hot day. Hope is comforting. It's nourishing. Hope is exciting. And this is what Jesus chose to give us. Hope. So Jesus begins his sermon to the Jews with words of hope. That is why he starts off giving the Beatitudes. So now we move on to the second point. What do the Beatitudes, these blessings, mean for you today? What do they mean for you today? So Jesus has a reason for telling the Jews of the first century this hope. But what does it mean for you 2,000 years later? How do Jesus' words affect you? Well, they're not a recipe for righteousness with God. The Beatitudes are not a set of instructions for how you live to gain God's love and salvation. If you are a little meek, act merciful, and be a peacemaker, it doesn't mix up and come out of the oven as your way of being right with God. You can't mix all these things together and hope that the end result will look like the picture in the cookbook and that you'll live a holy life. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do all these things in the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes, they're not a personality quiz. It's not like those quizzes where they ask you, how meek are you? And then you rate yourself out of 5, and then once you've answered all the questions, you tally up the score and see what sort of personality type you are, and then which blessing you're going to receive. You then give a bit of a woohoo as you receive something like seeing God, and you look over the shoulder and find that you scored better than your friend. You can't then look at, you know, what your score said and go, I don't really actually agree with that. I think I want a different blessing. I think inheriting the earth actually sounds pretty good. And then you change all your responses to, you know, fit the right result. You can't do that. Also, the Beatitudes are not a set of, you know, assembly instructions. You don't have the instructions with the picture to the side, like, you know, assembling a bed or something. Attach part A to part B, and with the included screws, you then insert part D to the now assembled bedhead. I mean, I usually just ignore the instructions and just go by the pictures. I find it easier. These blessings are not a method of getting right with God. Well, what do the Beatitudes mean for you? What do they mean? Should you be meek and merciful and peacemakers and thirst after righteousness? Well, yes, of course, because these are all good things which God is going to reward. But what is important about the Beatitudes is that you should put your hope in Jesus. The same hope which he speaks of to his first hearers. Jesus has been preaching all about having hope for the rewards from God, and the Bible tells us that we should put our hope in Jesus. And why should you put your hope in Jesus? Because the gospel tells us that Jesus was the only one who could save us from our sin. Jesus is the only one who has the power to forgive and was able to die and come back to life again, guaranteeing you eternal life. The only way that they will is achieved is through the one who promises these rewards, through Jesus. They will because he did. They will because he did. You don't live out the Beatitudes to receive Jesus, but because you have received him. These are the fruits of following Jesus. These are the things you do because you love and want to follow Jesus. Don't you want to be meek? Don't you want to be merciful? Because he was merciful. Don't you want to be righteous? Because he was righteous. Don't you want to be more like Jesus and live the holy, perfect life which he displayed? Don't you want to live out a life which the Beatitudes describe? The blessings and the Beatitudes are the same for you as they were for those Jesus spoke to 2,000 years ago. If you put your faith in Jesus, and if you love him and follow him, then great are the blessings you will receive. Now, Jesus makes clear that following him in this world will not be easy, that we might face persecution and ridicule or insult. In fact, things of great evil might be said against you, things which you may not even say about your enemies, because of your faith in Jesus. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We see that there is a cost to following Jesus. There is a cost to discipleship, which is the theme of this series. There is a cost to living out the Beatitudes. There is a cost to following Jesus. Now, this cost may not necessarily be as heavy as persecution and ridicule, but it might just be a personal cost to you. Living life against the grain and putting yourself out there maybe as a peacemaker might be a cost. Going against your personality and honestly being kind and merciful to others, even if they don't deserve it. Or going that extra mile for someone. Maybe that will be your cost to discipleship. So following Jesus won't be easy. Putting your hope in Jesus won't be easy. But great are the rewards which he promises for doing so. The Beatitudes are very relevant for you because they explain the rewards you can expect for putting your hope and faith in Jesus and his death and resurrection. So Brian and his mother walked away, not understanding the important words which Jesus was imparting to his people, not understanding the hope that could be theirs and not knowing the blessings that could be theirs by putting their faith in Jesus. So let me ask you a question. Where does your hope lie? Seriously, where does your hope lie? Do you put your hope in what you gain or by what you achieve in this world? Are you putting all your hope in how much money you make or how successful you are or by which people you rub shoulders with? Where does your hope lie? Where does it lie? Do you put your hope in your good deeds? Is your hope in the efforts you maybe give to please God and work your way into heaven and the great future that Jesus speaks of? Are you living out these blessings? Are you living out these blessings? Are you carrying out the faith, your faith and living in hope? If this is where your hope is, well, then maybe you need to reassess your hope. Maybe you need to rethink about what is important and what sort of future you are looking forward to. Because if this is where your hope is, well, then you won't receive the blessings which Jesus speaks of. You won't enjoy the future which Jesus promises and the joys which are to come. And if your hope is not in Jesus, you do not have these blessings. But if you do put your hope in Jesus, if you trust in him and trust in the saving grace of his death and resurrection, then these blessings, these beatitudes, will be yours. If you believe in Jesus and turn away from your sins and confess him as Saviour and Lord, then you are forgiven of your sins and have been made pure. Now, I used to always think that the Beatitudes were in fact the Beatitudes, the attitudes which you should be. Maybe that's not actually too far from the truth. If you haven't turned to Jesus and haven't asked him to enter into your life, I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to put your hope in him and accept him as your Saviour, because great, great are the rewards which he promises. Great is the reward to be loved and spend eternity with God in bliss. Great are the Beatitudes. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you saved us from our sins and that you sent your Son to die for us. Thank you that in your Son Jesus we have the hope of a future with you in eternity. Please be with us in our lives that we may live pleasing lives to you, and give us strength in times when our faith is tested and when the world hates us. Thank you that you are a God of love who cares for his people and has given us the hope of a reward with him in eternity. Amen.